Well, I'd like to start off in Psalm 92. I have some fond memories about this psalm. We had contact with Brother Bias in Bakersfield, and we made arrangements to put up a sign on his property, and I went down with a couple fellows to do that. At any rate, we had lunch with him, and he asked me to read a psalm. And I read the 92nd psalm, and he said, well, it's the wrong day for that. It was on a, I don't remember what day it was, one day during the week. And this is a psalm for the Sabbath. And he was a Dutchman from Holland, and very interesting. He's a Plymouth Brethren, and he told good many stories about the Holland Dutch. They have several different things that we won't go into tonight. But at any rate, I just want to read the first five verses here. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings, upon the psaltery, and upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the work of thy hands. And we should be able to say amen to that. The fact that the work of Calvary was adequate, it was enough, and we triumphed in that. And then verse 5, O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. And that would carry us a good way along, but I want to go back to the second verse, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. And being it's nighttime, we're going to deal with the Lord's faithfulness. And I've got some verses about it, and I'd like to have a little participation if you've got some. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 to begin with, the faithfulness of the Lord. We'll start with verse 11. It's a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. We almost looks like we've got a contradiction here, but the Lord has promised that when we believe in him, he'll give to us eternal life, and that's a promise that is secure. He's faithful to it, and we don't have any question about that. Peter denied the Lord. I'm sure that I have done it in times past, and it grieves him, and he will let us pay for it. In some way, but as far as our eternal salvation is concerned, he will not deny himself. He's constantly there, and he's willing to stick by it. Okay, in the fourth chapter, one of my favorite verses, verse 16, Paul says, at my first answer, no man stood with me. All men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. I can understand a bit about this. I've been giving out magnetic stickers at the rest home, not to the residents, but to the workers there. And I've probably handed out 20. But you know, some folks say. Matter of fact, one lady said, "I'm good enough." That solved that problem. Another one said, "We don't need that," and that solved her problem. But it's surprising how many folks do. Appreciate the word. One girl stopped me yesterday and said, I took that home to my mother, and she walked right out the minute I gave it to her, put it on the car. And I thought, well, that's what they're there for, is to put on the car. But he will not deny us. We may deny him, but God will never deny us. I think the next verse is outstanding in my mind. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. How many times we've got ourselves in a predicament at something, and the Lord stood with us and strengthened us, and got us out of it. I think of Annie Knight. She was constantly getting herself in trouble, and her husband would come with the word to rescue her. But the Lord stood with Paul and strengthened him. Reminds me of a verse in Daniel where Daniel says, he strengthened me. It's very, very good. Okay, let's go to another one. 1 John 3. Well, let's start with verse 19. Hereby we know that we are the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. He's speaking of loving the brethren and so on. Now, verse 20, if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. And I don't suppose that there's a believer in the world that whose heart hasn't condemned them at some point or another, distressed over the answer they gave or the answer they didn't give. One way or the other, they were distressed. But you know what? God is faithful. He knows all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, God, then have we confidence before God. So, verse 20 and verse 21 again seem contradictory, but they aren't. God takes care of us. And did I read? Yeah, I read 20 and then 21. Paul's heart didn't condemn him, but you know, I think Paul had a few times when his heart was a little disturbed over the decisions he made. We won't get into that. Okay. Any of you got a verse that you think of that? Well, John, Charles, I'm going to get to that one. Yeah, Lamentations 3. And that one states definitely, great is thy faithfulness. Lamentations 3. And what? Three. Yeah, all right. Jeremiah has been bemoaning the fact that he's a man that's seen God's wrath, and he spends 20 verses telling us about, I think this is an amazing one, verse 16, he has broken my teeth with gravel stone, made me drunken with wormwood, and Jeremiah has been through the mill. But verse 20, my soul has them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. It's of the Lord's mercies that were not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. And he makes this statement, great is thy faithfulness. And the Lord's faithfulness is great, is constant. Marilyn took the lesson at the rest home Tuesday and showed God's faithfulness. She may have used this verse. Shirley says she did. Yeah. We can depend on the faithfulness of God. You know, Titus 1 says, God that cannot lie. And I told you before, but McDonald's commentary on the Bible says that there are over 30,000 promises in the Word. Now, if any of you want to check that out and let me know if it is accurate or not, I'd appreciate it. Okay, let's go to Deuteronomy 32. Well, I expect I got the wrong reference. Well, where is it? It speaks about Joseph. Oh, it's 33. That's why I can't find it. Oh, no, that's not it either. But this is a good one. Deuteronomy 33. Verse 26, there is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who riseth upon the heaven in thy help, and his excellency in the sky. It's like 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in those whose heart is perfect toward him. And you know what? My state, my heart isn't perfect, but standing, my heart is perfect. The scripture speaks several times of being blameless before God, and it shows the effectiveness of the work of Christ. And here, he rides upon our help in the heavens. And then verse 27, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. But you know what? God is above us. He's beneath us. The eternal God is our refuge, and we can depend on that. Now I know why I was struggling. I wanted Joseph in Genesis 49. I was looking for it in Deuteronomy, and it wasn't there. Genesis 49. Verse 22. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. And you know, not once in all of Joseph's life does the Lord record that Joseph complained. And yet, here it tells us that the archers sorely grieved him. But look at verse 24. Remember, he said to his brethren, "You counseled evil against me, but God turned it to good to save our lives by great deliverance." And here we have it. His bow abode in strength. The arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. I think this is something unbelievable that Joseph, a slave, a prisoner, and yet the scripture records that his arms were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. All right, let's read on. Thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with the blessings from of heaven above, the blessings that lieth under the blessings of the breast and of the womb, the blessings of thy father hath prevailed above the blessings of thy progenitors, and the uttermost bounds of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the head of him that was separate from his brother. Joseph experienced God's faithfulness time and time again. Really very, very unusual. Anybody got a verse? What? Yeah? Deuteronomy 13? Oh. Romans 12?
14.
Okay. Read it for us.
Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he allows.
Very good. Anybody else? Okay, Marilyn.
Psalm 42:8.
Okay.
The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life.
Anybody else? Okay, John's coming with a microphone.
It's Psalm 63:3, because your loving kindness is better than life.
Oh, wait a minute, let us find it, will you? Psalm 63:3, all right.
Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you.
That's very out of the good. Loving kindness of the Lord. We're showed forth in the morning and faithfulness every night. All right. Anybody else? Okay. Let's look further. While we're in Psalms, Psalm 40. And verse 5. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order in thee, unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. And, you know, David was rather limited as far as we're concerned, because we've got much more scripture and much more about the faithfulness of God than David had. But, he says, many are thy wonderful works. David, experienced the faithfulness of God very well. And with that, I want to use Psalm 139. Psalm 40 said, many are thy wonderful thoughts. Look at this one, Psalm 139 and verse 17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. While God's promises are extreme, I sat and talked with the director of the rest home today, and he said, you know, we have so much more to be thankful for. And he told about going to pray for a lady that was dying. And he said she said she could begin to see the glories of heaven already. She was that close to dead. And he said, we don't begin to realize how great it is to pass from this life, from through death to the presence of the Lord. And he said he felt that she could actually see some of the glories of heaven. With that, let's go to Psalm 64. No, Isaiah 64, excuse me. Verse 4. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what thou hast prepared for him that waiteth for him. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness. Those that remember thee in thy ways, behold, thou art wroth. We have sinned, in whose countenance we shall be saved. And I don't think I have it here, but no, I don't. But Israel, I'm just reading through the Old Testament now in the expanded Bible, and I was in Numbers where the Balaam was hired to curse Israel. And you remember the statement there, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Hath he not said, and shall he not do it? Wow. God's promise is secure. And Israel sinned mightily there. And yet the Lord says, I don't see any fault in Israel. And that's a general attitude. Now, with this one in Isaiah 64, we need 2 Corinthians 2, because this is a quotation of that. So Paul picks it up by the Spirit of God and tells us a little more about it. Verse 9, 1 Corinthians 2, did I say 2? 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. As it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of the man the things that God prepared for them that love him. And we don't often read the 10th verse, but he says, God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. We know more of heaven than the Old Testament saints do, but we don't really know very much. How is it in John 17, the glory that he had with the Father? And we're headed for that. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The things that God has prepared for those that love him. And unfortunately, our love is not perfect, but it is adequate. When Brad had it just the other day, whom having not seen we love, yet joy and rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory. All right, let's go on. Back to Isaiah 63. Start with verse 7. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praise of the Lord according to all that he has bestowed on us. The great goodness toward the house of Israel, which is bestowed on them according to his mercies, according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. And I marvel at verse 8. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. Can you believe that? God saw. Well, Balaam said he's not seen perverseness in Israel. Here, we don't see any perverseness in Israel. And in verse 9, in all their affliction, he was afflicted. The angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. And he bare them and carried them all the days of old. You know, Israel spent 40 years in the wilderness. And in that 40 years, they didn't need a pair of shoes. They didn't need new dresses or overalls. The things they had, God preserved them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. What is it? Acts says, another one in Acts 13. He suffered their manners 40 years in the wilderness, but in faithfulness, he didn't discard them. That's an amazing thing. All right, let's go to Psalm 63. Verse 7, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of their wings I will rejoice. You know, we better go back on this. Let's go back to verse 3. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. I will bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. You know, don't sell meditation short. It's, Psalm 104, it said, my meditation of the Lord will be sweet. God is faithful, and as we think about it, it's good. Thou hast been my help, and in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul falleth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. And we could spend the night on verses that speak of God upholding us with his right hand. All right, let's go to Numbers 23. Oh, this is Balaam. I quote it. God is not a, verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless. He is blessed and I cannot reverse it. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him. The shadow of the king is among him. The Lord didn't see any perverseness in Israel. All right. Here's one that I think everybody should know. We won't turn to it. Jude 24. How many of you know Jude 24 without? Unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Unto him, God's faithfulness is there. It's here. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. This one, I surprised that Mr. Richardson hasn't come up with this one, but Philippians 1 and verse 6. How many of you know that one? Now unto him who's able. No, I am confident that God is able to perform. No, I don't know it. Paul was confident that what God had begun a good work in them, he would perform it. It's his faithfulness. It's amazing. He began the work and he'll finish it. And one day we'll be completely in him. We're complete in him now, but one day we'll be children of his. And let's go to Jeremiah 31. In verse 3, another one of Charles's verses, but the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. You know, Psalm 107, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works. One translation says, for his enduring love. And God's enduring love is worthy of our praise and thanks. And here, yea, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And God recognizes that sometimes we're not too lovable, but his love is always on us, and we enjoy it. All right, let's go to Hebrews 6. Verse 17. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. this is a strange statement concerning God, but he confirms these promises by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope that's set before us. The coming of the Lord, the assurance that we'll one day be like him, one day we'll see him face to face, one day this mortal will put on immortality, and death will be swallowed up in life. God has sworn that, and we've laid hold of that hope that's set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, that entereth into that within the veil. And There again, we could spend a lot of time talking about the hope that he's given us. It's a hope that is based on not what we do, but what he's done. It's based entirely upon the promise of God. And I want to close with Psalm 73. Asaph, his steps were almost gone. His feet were almost gone. His steps had well nigh slipped in verse 2. But then he went into the sanctuary of God and understood that his fears were unfounded. Verse 22, so foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. But think of God's faithfulness in this verse. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by thy right hand. Asaph recognizes that God has a hold of him. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me in glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And Asaph understood that God was his portion, and it's this verse that allows me to question just a little bit the fact that Israel is a earthly people, because here the psalmist speaks about whom have I in heaven but thee, and it just makes me wonder what's going to be the general outcome there. But we do know this, that his promises are sure and secure, exceeding great and precious promises, Peter tells us, and they're ours by faith without works, and it's good.